Welcome to the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 11 of E4 2019. That's right, 11 episodes. I'm Tommy, of course. Jamie's sitting over there. How you doing, man?
It won't die!
It's close to over, but not yet. We're still here, dang it.
I don't really feel like it's over. Like, it just keeps going, and it feels good. So, why stop?
Let's ride it as long as we can. I agree.
Hey,
I love E3, man.
Duff, can we just do perpetual E3?
Perpetual E3.
Can we just make that happen? I am sitting here in a completely different setup than normal. And I try to get comfortable, and I pull my mouse off my desk, and I'm currently recording right now, and I'm just trying not to move so Logic doesn't do anything else. I apparently have windowed Logic and opened something else, and I say all of this to tell you folks that I really need Tommy to come down here for about 4 or 5 more days to get my crap together, because I got issues over here. So if we can make that happen, that would be great. So I'm good with perpetual E3.
Me too. It sounds like a good time. So all that being said, this is our kind of wrap-up show, dealing with some news things, because we really haven't hit like news outside of the big conferences, publishers, that kind of stuff yet. And of which there's honestly not a ton, but a few announcements we'll get into. And then we'll do our typical just kind of wrap stuff, looking back at E3 that was for 2019 and looking ahead to E3 that will be for 2020. So news-wise, we'll start with what I think is maybe, we'll talk about this a little bit later in the show, but probably by most metrics, the biggest game of the show, which was Cyberpunk 2077, I think maybe the biggest moment of the show was Keanu Reeves thing and everything else. And so a few new details we've gotten about Cyberpunk 2077 through the course of E3, and specifically the behind closed doors demo and all that kind of stuff. First, on the behind closed doors demo, we will see that demo. That demo will be made public at PAX West this year. And so that happens, I believe, right at the end of August, right at the beginning of September, somewhere right in there. And so we've got 2 or 3 months until we see what everybody at E3 saw from Cyberpunk.
Can we go to that?
That would be fantastic. Be a good time.
I don't know if we can still get tickets, but can we go to that?
Be a good time. Where is it? At, I'm trying to look, Washington State Convention Center in Seattle. So there you go.
I know you're all about that.
I'd be down.
I feel like there's a road trip that needs to happen. That's all I'm saying.
I feel like there's a flight that needs to happen. Seattle's a long way away.
Well, let me you're right. It definitely needs to be a flight. We need a plane. That's the thing is we need.
If anybody's got a plane, you want to loan us.
Yeah, because I'm not flying commercial. Commercial for a criminal is hard.
I imagine
it's not easy, and you know this because we've done it, and it was not fun.
Yeah.
So if we're gonna do it, we need to borrow a plane, preferably like a G6. That would be good.
That'd be all right.
So if anybody out there got that, send us an email, gaminguncensored@gmail.com. We will make you a platinum sponsor on this show.
There you go.
That would be very cool to be able to go and do that.
That would be cool. And yeah. I'm really excited to see the content. We've heard so much about it, and so it honestly, I don't think it's going to be shocking in any way. It'll just be exciting because Cyberpunk is exciting at this point. I just want to see more of it, obviously. A few more things we know. There's some comparisons to The Witcher, obviously. That makes a ton of sense of how Cyberpunk will be set up, how it'll play out, including it will have multiple endings like The Witcher does. And so depending on choices you make throughout the game, you'll get different endings. What I hope for, what I don't want is like good endings, bad endings, because I always hate the idea of bad endings, because then it makes me feel like I need to go look up like a walkthrough to make sure I don't get the bad ending. But like what The Witcher does more so is kind of, you know, like, I guess it's good ending, bad ending, depending on what you want to happen, but you can kind of play it to what you want to happen. And so it's not necessarily a good ending or a bad ending, but it's an ending that reflects your playthrough. And so if they can pull that off and give you endings that are pretty reflective of how you chose to play the game, or even like, honestly, like if you screw up at some point and that's reflected in an ending in a consequential way, that's kind of cool too. I just don't want there to be though like one ending you're trying to get, and if you screw up, you get some other ending and always wonder.
I don't want to play for 100 hours and get to the end of it and go, that wasn't what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I am notoriously bad about looking something up and figuring out where the point is in every game that it branches off, because there's always a point in every game that you know, you make a set of crucial decisions and it determines where you end up.
Yeah.
And I freely admit that I'm notoriously bad about that, because I don't want to play 50, 80, 100 hours and then have a bad result because I don't have time to play it again.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And the good thing is in 2020, we can go and just look up all the other endings and see what they are, which is exactly what I did with The Witcher 3. Like when I got to the end of The Witcher 3, the ending I got, I was perfectly happy with, but I knew there were other endings. And so like I just went up like on YouTube and just found the other endings. Well, oh, cool. That's what happens if, you know, you would have made this decision. What I remember is it's all about the relationships. And so the two main kind of romance characters in The Witcher. It's, you know, you either end up with one or the other or neither kind of thing, depending on what choices you make throughout the game. And so I think there were a couple other variables to the endings than just that, but that was the primary thing. So on that, I would also like to have endings that aren't necessarily just who you end up hooked up with at the end, as fun as that is. And it's something that will be in Cyberpunk. They've also confirmed that there's going to be a relationship and a romance system, very much. You would assume, like The Witcher, and I'm good with that as long as it's done in a way that kind of makes sense. There's a few times in The Witcher that it got cheesy-ish to me, the kind of like the pitting the two main female characters, kind of like this love triangle thing. Just I feel like this is a stereotypical guy thing, but I kind of want your opinion on this too. I just don't care about romantic relationships that much in video games and TV. There's exceptions to that. There's obviously movies and television I like that center around some romantic relationships. But unless it's really done well in a narrative way, like more often than not, they just annoy me.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you just heard is uncomfortable Tommy, which I really, really dig. Because you don't really hear a lot of that on this show, but that's what that just was. He's very concise and knows what he wants to say. But my thing on this is that it depends on what the game is. Like, I really enjoyed it in Mass Effect.
Fair.
I thoroughly enjoyed it in Mass Effect. I thought they did a good job. I had a romantic interest in every Mass Effect, and I chased it. It was something that I was curious about. In Mass Effect, the different options and different ways you could go, and the responses that you get from people when you tell them the way that you went. Because in Mass Effect 2 and 3, I ended up with Jack, and you tell people that played Mass Effect, yo, I ended up with Jack, and they look at you and they're like, why? I guess it was just the tattoos. I don't know. Yeah. But that it greatly depends on the title. And I want to know personally if they can do something that I haven't seen before.
Yeah. I think that's fair. They have a potential to make it really interesting, potential to make it really dumb.
You said interesting. I had a better word. It has potential to be freaky because it's cyberpunk.
Yeah,
and that is what really interests me. And I mean. Freaky in the idea of is one of the interests an android or some weird nutty, you know, I'm thinking about Detroit become human and what are we going to end up with as far as cyberpunk is concerned.
Speaking of games
there,
we need to play.
Yes. And, I mean, there's 8 zillion different ways they can go and plus, it's cyberpunk, so it's adult, which I'm very sort of weirdly interested in to see how they approach that.
Yeah.
And The Witcher is adult also, but it's different. When you start talking about this, you know, neuromancer cyber world, it's different.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, it's such a weird thing because there's like, so let's go a little bit even deeper into this. Not the conversation I was thinking we were heading down, but there's very obviously going to be sex scenes in this as well, which is cyberpunk. Like, that's what they do. The Witcher has their definite fair share of it. Oftentimes, like, for The Witcher, over the kind of edge of just like nudity for nudity's sake. And we've already seen with the first big gameplay, like whatever that first hour chunk of stuff we got, I don't even think it was that long, however long that first chunk we got from last year was, you know, there was the chick in the bathtub or whatever. Like, there's going to be a pretty heavy dose of that in Cyberpunk 2077, I imagine. And it makes me think of, and I think The Witcher's an apt comparison here to like Game of Thrones, of just like, just nakedness all around. And that's just there's a way you can do it that it's like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And then there's a way that you do it that's like, there's just pixelated breasts all over my screen all the time, you know? And it's just, it's such a weird thing that in, like, we're in the era of games now. I think back to when I was like a teenager and would have been like, yeah, all the time about this stuff. But it's this, like, interesting era in gaming that, like, the game is so pretty. Like, graphically, it looks so good. And yet, there's still something really strange about, like, naked CG characters.
And, again, you have to do something that we haven't seen before. I really feel like, you know, the idea of getting to the point where you get to the scene where the romance happens and there's a bedroom somewhere and like, no. okay, you know, that's cool if you throw that in there, but there are different ways to go about it. And we talked about it earlier in E3 when we were talking about Red Dead, and even before E3, we were talking about that whole situation with the hotel and the bathtub and the whole that whole deal.
Yeah.
That to me was absolutely compelling because I had not seen that before, and you didn't know which way it was gonna go. And how is this going to play out? And did he have control of that? And could he have made choices? That's what you have to do. It's not, hey, we're romantic and we got to the bedroom and here it is. You know,
right.
It's give me something. It's a game. So give me something to play out.
Yes. Yeah, make it compelling, and then there's a rationale for it. If it just feels gratuitous, then, yeah, not as interested.
Yeah. So,
again, not where I was anticipating that conversation going, but worth talking about.
Cyberpunk, it's what it
yes,
does.
Yeah. We're going to have plenty more of those conversations as it gets closer and as it's released. That being said, one more kind of Witcher-esque comparison that they made that I really like, and we talked about this a little bit on the Patreon content. Let me mention a few things there before we get into it. So first of all, lots of Patreon content coming. It is scheduled to start today and happen over today is Friday, to happen over the next, essentially the next 2 weeks of a new bit of content on Patreon every day. So if you're a Patreon subscriber, this is a really good time because you're going to get tons of content coming up starting today. Those guys, thank you to them, Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavosh, Chad, Zeke, Chris, and Brigham. We appreciate a ton. If you want to get in on the Patreon, like I said, now is the best time of the year to do it because there's going to be content on top of content showing up over there over the next couple of weeks. So you can do that by going to gamingandcensor.com and clicking that Become a Patron button. All that said, the video that's launching today on Patreon is about Cyberpunk 2077. In that, we talked a little bit about like the automated cars and the idea that you could get. Hopefully, theoretically, there's going to be a fast travel system or a way to get around the city based off of the automated cars. They did confirm that you'll be able to summon your vehicle. So if you like the horse in The Witcher, like Roach, that you could just summon essentially at any time, you can summon your car at any time. You can have it just show up based on where you're at to use the AI in the car, the automated system of the car, to have it just come to you. Cars, motorcycles, whatever your steed is at any given time, which is smart, but also makes sense in the context of this world. Like in Grand Theft Auto, to just have your car appear isn't terribly realistic, but in Cyberpunk, it makes a lot of sense.
And it's very, again, that's something that you have to be careful how you do it, because I've not questioned Red Dead for 1 second. And then the other day, you did something with a stagecoach. And I don't remember what it was that I thought was weird, but wherever you got to, your horse just showed up.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, what? That, like, that makes no sense. And I don't remember what that was. Maybe you can remind me, but he was just there.
Yeah, I don't remember, but that definitely happens. And it's one of those weird things because, like, a game like Red Dead, your horse is really essential. Like, navigating that world requires a mode of transportation, such as a horse. And you want your horse, but to have, like, your horse just always be where you're at no matter what. It's the same thing with The Witcher. Like, you just summon your horse, and he just shows up all the time, and that feels weird. What they could do is that you can just get a horse essentially wherever you're at. You know, you could go to a stable or you can steal one or whatever, like Grand Theft Auto, where, like, you don't really have a car in Grand Theft Auto. Of course, you can get a car that you kind of keep it.
You have all the cars.
You have all the cars. Yeah. Any given point, you just, like, go and jack somebody out of their car. And, like, Red Dead is set up differently. Like, in just, you could just jack anybody's horse you want going through the game, but, like, it's not really set up up that way. It's set up for you to have a bond with your horse. You get rewarded by building a relationship with your horse. And so you want this one horse that you're using, or a couple of horses that you're using as your primary mount. And so that, like, what they could do is you just, you know, go pick up a horse and you ride back to base and your horse is there, your horse is wherever you left it. And there's always an icon on the map of whatever, you can go find your horse. And that would be way more realistic. And I think I would have liked that better. I think it would have just felt like more true to that world. Whereas right now, it doesn't, because you're lacking that kind of realism element of this horse that, again, is just like magically there. And there's nothing, you know, like magically supernatural in the world of Red Dead to make that make sense.
The difference with Cyberpunk, and the reason I like the idea about the vehicles, is that Night City is going to be a dense city. I don't think it's that big, but it's going to be really, really, really dense. And in Cyberpunk, in between missions, I hope they pull this off, but I want the ability to go get noodles or go to a hotel or, you know, insert random thing here.
Yes.
That is very Night City. I want to live in it. And you live in Red Dead, but it's very much based on things that you find along the way. I think in Cyberpunk, I just want to be able to go goof off.
Yes.
And Red Dead has that with the fishing, but that's kind of it. Like, you can go fish wherever you want to, but that's kind of the thing, you know?
Yeah, or you can you can play poker, or you can play dominoes, or you can do the little, like, chop your finger off knife game or whatever. Like, it's got those things.
Yeah.
But I think a key difference that you just brought up is Red Dead is not dense. Red Dead is very spread out and sparse.
Right.
Even the cities aren't really dense in Red Dead. Whereas Night City, like you said, is going to be dense. Like, that's obviously a big part of what they're trying to do with that world. And so, yeah, I completely agree. I want to be able to engage with that world as deeply as possible, and that transportation component of it is important, but likely a lot less so than Red Dead or even The Witcher. And The Witcher is a big open world that's, you know, pretty sparse between towns as well, relatively speaking. That, like, you need that horse to get around. You're going to need a car in Cyberpunk, I think, but I imagine there's going to be a lot of stuff that you can do, you know, that's going to be pretty close, again, because that world seems like it's going to be really dense. By the way, also another bit of news, there is going to be stuff that takes place outside of Night City. How much the world is expanded past Night City isn't clear yet, but they have confirmed that there will be things that happen outside of Night City, which is cool too. I kind of want to see and get to know more of the world than just Night City. And on that, one more thing I'll mention here, just keeps things popping up. They are planning on doing expansions very similar to how they did expansions with the Witcher 3, which is great because they added lots of content in those expansions, which is another place that they could expand that world, that they could get deeper into some of the other areas of Cyberpunk universe that's not necessarily Night City.
Just to put a bow on this and kind of wrap it up a little bit. The thing with Cyberpunk is that it's one of those games that I will pay $60 for on day one.
Yes.
And because I've been around you for the last 14 years of my life, that is not something that I do anymore.
Yeah.
But Cyberpunk is one of those games that the day it comes out, I will throw down my $60 and I will not hesitate. And it is very much mythical at this point. I think we have all wanted to live in this world, not necessarily cyberpunk, but in this Neuromancer type world for a long time. Nobody's ever really been able to pull it off. And here's the first real stab at it. And I think that's what excites people. And the we're talking about being able to get around and do this and do that. Like, the thing with this world is you can do whatever you want to do, but you have to do it well. Like, I would do a lot of stuff that I would not do in real life. Like, what does a cyberpunk strip club look like? Or, you know, insert really weird thing here that makes me feel sketchy otherwise.
I
would do that there. And that's what makes this title different.
Yeah. And not to keep going back to Grand Theft Auto, but in a way, it reminds me of Grand Theft Auto, that, like, it's going to be a world that I want to explore differently than I would in as a real person, you know. Like, I'm gonna do stuff in this world that's not reflective of the character of me, because it's going to be reflective of this world, you know, and that I want to get lost in this world. Like, I love Grand Theft Auto games for that reason, you know. Like, it's Grand Theft Auto is the polar opposite of the human being that I am, and that's part of the reason I find them so enjoyable and so intriguing, is because it gives me that escapism. I get to live as a person that's 100% different than I am, without any, like, guilt about being a horrible person, you know. Like, really, that's a big chunk of it. Like, getting to steal cars and just run over people, like, without really caring about consequences or anything. Like, there's, as horrible as that sounds to say out loud, there's something really interesting and compelling about that that makes it fun.
It does. And the thing about this world is that it's a, like I said, it's a place that we've never been before. With options that we've never had before. I mean, I was talking about androids, but you could even go a step farther. What about holograms?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Can you imagine one of your romantic interests being a hologram? I mean,
now that you got that going, I'd go a step farther. I hope that's true. Like, I hope there's some, like, because we already know Johnny Silverhand is this kind of not, like, this is, I don't know exactly how they're going to execute this, but it's not a physical person. Like, it's some manifestation of this dude that was in the world. Maybe it's dead. Maybe it's still in the world somehow. I don't know. But that you could do that same kind of manifestation with a, you know, another character, a romantic interest character, I think sounds really compelling. Like, that's kind of interesting future world stuff that's worth exploring in a video game.
Like, if you do that, I'm like, yeah, let's get freaky, whatever you got. let's try that. Like, let's play that out and see how that works.
And it makes total sense in that world. Like, it totally is feasible. And so, yeah. So that's Cyberpunk, maybe a little longer than we planned on going on Cyberpunk. But again, I think that's probably the biggest game, especially that's new. You can make an argument for Final Fantasy VII in there too, but we know what the story is for Final Fantasy VII. We don't know all that stuff about Cyberpunk. So, switching gears, let's talk about maybe the most polarizing, controversial game announcement coming out of E3. Maybe not controversial, maybe is pretty unified in what people think about it. But that's the Avengers game from Square. So a couple of new details about how this game is going to work, which is just confuse me even more. So my original understanding of this game was that it was like a live service game, that it was going to be, you know, like The Division or like Destiny or something like that, but with the Avengers. It turns out that that's not the case, and I'm still unclear of what they're intending for this game to be, because the main campaign of the Avengers game is going to be single player only. Like, you don't have an option to play the main campaign as a group with other people, because you're actually going to play as all the Avengers, and apparently it's very cinematic. You're going to switch back and forth between characters and all this kind of stuff. And so they just were like, there's no way to make that work with a live service type approach. And so the multiplayer aspect of it, as far as I can tell at this point, it's going to be like side quest stuff. Like, you can go on side quests that you team up with three other people, and each of you chooses the Avenger that you want to be to do these side quests, but it's not part of the main campaign. And so it's a live service game that the main campaign of it is single player only, which I honestly would prefer, but like, it's just super confusing to me.
I don't like this. Because most of the time I'm like you, and yeah, that's what I would prefer, because we like solo stuff. But this is the Avengers, and it's about a team and multiple people. And I'm not saying it needs to be the Division or 8 zillion other multiplayer online game. I'm not saying it needs to be that. I'm just saying the idea that you can't play the solo campaign with a friend on your couch or online, that's nuts for this title.
Yeah, isn't it? Yes, because like you said, it's the Avengers. Like, the whole purpose is that it's a team. Like, we're playing Spider-Man right now. That makes perfect sense as a solo experience. You know, like, squeezing multiplayer into that would feel a little bit weird. But the Avengers is, by definition, this team. And so, yeah, having it just be solo. So what I'm assuming is that as you're playing through the campaign, you're going to be playing with all of the Avengers there. Like, they're going to be present. And so, like, whichever one you're not controlling at any given moment, it's just being controlled by AI. And that's, yeah, it's just weird. I feel like this is a game that lacks any, like, real direction. You know, like, and maybe it comes out and it blows us away and we're all surprised by it. But I don't think that's anybody's expectation right now, because it just doesn't know what it is. Like, I don't know what it is. And they have yet to really explain to me, like, why I should be excited about this game.
I don't think it's a lack of direction. I just think it's a bad idea.
But I can't even, like, fair, but I can't even, like, put to words what the idea is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't, like, I don't know what they're trying to do with it. Like, what they're trying to do is bad, but I couldn't articulate what that is.
Well, I will tell you, and we talked about this early in E3, the reason this is a bad idea is because we just wrapped up 10 years of the Avengers. And if you're going to do this, it has to be on that level. And yeah, this is clearly not. And it wasn't from the get-go. When like, I'm sorry to harp on this, but if Robert Downey Jr. ain't playing Tony Stark, like, you're done. That's it. Goodbye. And I know that's insane, but it's, for me, it's that simple. I want that level. Even if it's a new story, even if you go back before Endgame and do all of that, you have to do it on the MCU level, because, like I said, we've had 10 years of that. And I'm not saying that all of those movies were the greatest thing ever, but they are the absolute best we've ever had. And I feel like this is going back to what we had before. And to steal a phrase from my friend Charles Barkley, it's Stan Lee be rolling over in his grave. Because, you know, we just had 10 years of this stuff that he signed off on, and now here's this bad superhero game. And you're right, we might get surprised, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I do too. On that point, one other bit of news that came out, obviously one of the big criticisms from the reveal of this is that the character models aren't what you expected them to be because they don't look like the MCU characters. It's not Robert Downey Jr. and Iron Man doesn't really look anything like Robert Downey Jr. And so Crystal Dynamics has said that they're not changing the character models. But a point I made on Twitter isn't even that they're not based on the MCU characters, which I get. Again, we can talk about that. I think it's a very valid thing to say that's the expectation. You're not making that expectation. But I go like even a step farther. The problem is that they don't look good. Like, they just, like, especially Thor and Black Widow to me. Those two character models just look unfinished. Like, they just, like, they're not visually appealing. They're so generic looking that, like, there's no character behind them, you know? Like, I don't care if you make it, like, Thor look like Chris Hemsworth. You just got to make him look better. Like, you just got to make him look cool. Like, he just looks like generic dude with a beard.
I feel like we're going back to 2003. Like, this is the level of title that we would have seen in 2003.
Yes.
And we can't do that, right?
Yeah.
Not with this.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a franchise that is so well established at this point that either you do like the Marvel Alliance thing, which feels so separate.
I was about to say, I'm so glad you brought that up because that
looks really good.
About. Yeah,
yeah.
I want to play that. That seems like a lot of fun.
But they were doing something so different in that they're not trying to be photorealistic. That is, it's very different. It's not the same cinematic approach. It's like an old school Marvel game. And that feels like it could work. It feels like it could be really, really fun. This just, it feels like it's trying too much to be cinematic and be like the cinematic universe without being the cinematic universe. And then you end up in this super awkward place that just doesn't feel like it's going to work.
Well, and I think it's interesting that you brought up Spider-Man because I wanted to spend about 20 minutes talking about Spider-Man.
Right.
And we're 40 minutes into the show. We ain't talking about nothing yet. So, but here's the deal with Spider-Man. We are 10 hours in.
About a third, a little more than a third of the way through the main campaign.
And let me just tell you, I'm Jamie Jordan. I overstate things. This is what I do. So here we go. Spider-Man is really good.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to do a game and Spider-Man on the PS4 is not the MCU universe, but what they did talking about the throwback is they went to the comics and they pulled out some Tangled Web stuff of Parker in his 30s and he's out of school and he's not working for the Bugle anymore and he's broke and he's like, him and Mary Jane are sketchy and you're watching that and you're going, what is going on every 5 minutes? Aunt May's going, when am I getting a grandchild? You know, you're supposed to be with that girl. Just shut up and say you're sorry, you idiot. It's so good because they pulled that from the comics.
Yeah.
And I love it. And I don't think it's going to disappoint me. If they had done this with the Marvel. I don't even. What's the name of the thing?
What thing?
What's the name of the game we're talking about? I can't even remember the name of it.
Marvel Avengers.
Right. If they had done that with this, I'm good.
Yep. Like to be fair on that point, like you're kind of making two different arguments there, because your first argument was like we needed to be the MCU. Your second argument is, but then Sony did Spider-Man, not the MCU, and killed it. You know, so it's proof that you could do this without pulling it into the cinematic universe and do it really well.
But
again, it doesn't feel like they're doing that.
What I'm saying though is that if they had built this game off of some comic book content that everybody's aware of, even casual fans are aware of, I think would be okay. What they did is they're like, we did this whole new thing with the characters you know. And like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. What got me is with Spider-Man is that this is comic book accurate. And if you did that with the Avengers, I don't know that I would care that it wasn't MCU. This is just some random thing that somebody threw together.
Maybe. We don't know. Like, that's the thing about it, is we just have so few details on story and that kind of stuff. I will make a different argument agreeing with you on Spider-Man 100%. Being the hyperbolic, you being the hyperbolic one, generally, I'm going to say something hyperbolic, but I think it's true. I think Spider-Man is the best superhero game that's been made. Like, it's just fantastic. It is so well done. It just continues to be great. That said, one of the things that makes it so great is that the gameplay is really good. And I think they could have done it, like, based off cinematic universe with the same gameplay, with, you know, Tom Holland looking character model or whatever, and it'd still be great. Like, the fact that the depth of the story is there, I think, is good. But you could do the depth of story in different ways. You didn't have to pull it, you know, directly from the comic world like they did. You could have done it a step removed, and it'd still be great. But the gameplay is fantastic. And that's one thing that I think is a valid criticism of this Avengers game so far. We haven't seen that. In fact, they didn't really show gameplay in a public way, but behind closed doors, people who came out from seeing gameplay of it said, we don't quite get it, you know? And there was very little doubt ever with the Spider-Man game that the gameplay wasn't going to be, was going to be anything other than really, really fun and compelling. And sure enough, that's what it turned out to be.
And it's gameplay that you don't expect. Because you, sir, are chasing backpacks, which is something I never thought I would see, but they did it in a way that it's fun, it's engaging, they gave you a reason to do this, and you may not get them all, but from what I've seen so far, you're going to get dang close.
Yeah, and they did really simple things, like just making them really easy to find on your map. Like, that. Whenever the mechanic first popped up, I said, this is terrible, I'm not going to do it. But then, like, they pulled it off in a really good way, where, like, okay, I hit the right thumbstick, and, like, they shine, you know? Like, I can see them visually in the world. They show up on the map when I open up the map. And so if I'm close to one, I can just run over and grab it. And it gives me this bonus in that I can spend these tokens for power upgrades and all that stuff. And so, yeah, it's a go and fetch mechanic that usually I hate in a game, but they pulled it off. One of my biggest complaints about Breath of the Wild, which we've talked about also in the context of E3 this year, is a stupid Korok seed thing. I'm not into that. I don't want to go hunting for Korok seeds all day. Like, it just doesn't interest me in any meaningful way. But if you just show them on the map as I'm walking around, or have some other, a better mechanic of locating them, it does have some mechanic in Breath of the Wild of telling you when you're close to one. But if they had a little bit better mechanic of that, then I'd probably go find more of them. You know, like I want it to be accessible. I'm not into like this idea of I want to explore the world completely without any help from the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, what game was one game at E3 they were talking about? I'm trying to remember what it was. Was talking about how intentional they were on the signage in the game, so that you could like turn off the HUD and still be able to navigate the world really well if you want to really immerse yourself in kind of that like RPG, like true role-playing sense, that you don't want a map that's showing you where you're going. You want to rely on the world to get you there. And I get people that want to do that. Like, I understand the appeal of that, but I'm personally not interested in that. Like, I want a HUD. I want stuff to help me out. I don't want it to be handed to me, but I really appreciate you, like, holding my hand along the way enough to give me that guidance that I'm not just wondering, spending time. I don't have enough time to play video games as it is right now. I don't want to play your game and just, like, wander around aimlessly for 3 hours. And so that's where it accomplishes something well. That was totally off topic, but...
And it's... The time's a big deal. I went to work yesterday, and I'm sitting around, and 2 out of the 3 guys at work have a Switch. And the youngest guy that just graduated from being an intern pulls out his Switch, and he's playing Smash. And I said, dude, didn't you just tell me you own Breath of the Wild? And he said, yeah. And I said, so why are you playing Smash? And he goes, because I like Smash. I said, yeah, but Breath of the Wild is like a 100-hour game. You got a long way to go. You're playing the wrong game. And he kind of gave me this eye roll, right? And then 5 minutes goes by, and I roll by him, and he's playing Breath of the Wild because it occurred to him that, you know, time is limited, and that's what these companies have got to realize. You've only got so much time, and so you've got to make the best use of that time possible, and that's kind of one of those things. Like, it's why I'm not really excited about the Marvel game, is because from what we see right now, I'm not even going to look at that. Like, yeah. I'm not touching it. I don't have time.
Yeah.
And that's not a good place to be.
Few other news things, and we're just running out of time now, so I want to make sure we get through a couple of these really quick. A couple of things from Nintendo. Biggest thing, we'll talk about this, see if we get to anything else. Biggest thing here is Nintendo is quote-unquote evaluating game streaming technology. And so we know Microsoft's going there. We assume Sony's going there. I would imagine Nintendo will obviously get there at some point, but they're going to be behind on that because it's not something they need at this point. But I would imagine they're considering that much the same way that they're looking at VR technology, looking at other things as well. Again, the future of gaming is streaming. It's going to happen. Whether or not it's the only way of gaming, I don't think it'll ever be the only way of gaming, but at some point I imagine it'll be the primary way of gaming. It's just a matter of when we get there. So of course, it makes sense for Nintendo to be looking at it. I don't anticipate Nintendo doing anything major on it in a long time, for a long time.
Nintendo, do not try this. You do not have the infrastructure.
That's the truth.
This is a dumb idea. You can evaluate it all day long, but I don't want to see it for 15 years.
You got to make some friends first. Yeah, they need help to pull it off. 100%. I'd agree with that. Konami made some news. They had a tease that they were going to make a big announcement, and so a lot of people were speculating on what that big announcement would be, and there was talk about maybe new Metal Gear outside of the world of Kojima and on and on. The actual announcement, at least for me, wasn't what I was anticipating. I think it caught a lot of people by surprise. The announcement was Konami is releasing a retro console. We have, you know, obviously Nintendo's done well with this. We have the Sega Genesis, the retro mini Genesis that was at E3 and apparently was a huge hit. People really fell in love with it. Konami announced the TurboGrafx-16 Mini.
I love it.
I do too.
I never owned one of those.
I didn't either.
I wanted one really, really bad. Like, there's the TurboGrafx-16, there was the 3DO, there was a couple of other ones in there. I never had a Jaguar, really wanted a Jaguar.
Yeah, that thing was expensive.
Yes, it was.
That's what I remember about the Jaguar.
And we were poor.
Yeah.
I think this is a brilliant idea, and I would pick that one up in a heartbeat because I never owned it.
Yep.
And so they will get our money, I can tell you right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with every bit of that. The games that they've announced so far are R-Type, New Adventure Island, Ninja Spirit. These I'm now not familiar with. Wise Book 1 and 2. Don't know. Dungeon Explorer and Alien Crush. Other ones that are expected include Bonk's Adventure, which I remember a little bit of. Blazing Lasers, which apparently was a big deal. I don't remember. But that's something I'm really excited about this, is that like there's a bunch of titles here that I'm not really familiar with for that reason, that we were never really into the TurboGrafx-16 world. And so now I'll get to know them a little bit, which I also agree I'm excited about.
It's a really good, I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's a really good idea. I owned a Sega. I wish I still owned the Sega. I do not want the Sega Mini.
Really?
What I want is the Sega with everything that was added onto it.
Oh, yeah.
I want
Sega CD and...
Right, and 32. I want all that because I had all of that, and there were some games on the Sega CD, believe it or not, that absolutely captivated me. And you might have to Google this one, but there was this one called Double Switch that was like in a mansion or something, and there was all kinds of like traps and blades, but it was all on video.
Yeah.
And I've talked about Dracula Unleashed, and there was Sewer Shark. There were they were the only ones that really did the video style game really well.
Yes.
And I say that because they kept me playing for hours. And maybe I was just stupid and thought it was cool because I was watching live video, but I played a lot. And if
I did
you
too.
If you give me that, I would be all over that. But just the original Sega Mini, I don't want that.
That's fair. I disagree. The games that they have on that thing are fantastic. And part of this is I didn't own a Sega Genesis. I take that back. I did late into its life cycle. I got a Sega Genesis / Sega CD. Like I got the Sega Genesis whenever the Sega CD came out. But I've told this story before. When I was young, I had a Super Nintendo, and then one of my good friends or a couple of brothers that I hung out with all the time, they had a Genesis. And so we would like take turns going to each other's house and spending the night based on what game we wanted to play. If it was a Super Nintendo game we wanted to play, it'd be at my house. If it was a Genesis game, it'd be at their house. And so like Toe Jam and Earl, we've talked about a ton, obviously, was Genesis only. And so I went to their house all the time to play Toe Jam and Earl, but I never had it. Like I didn't have Toe Jam and Earl. I didn't have the Sonic games. All that stuff I was relying on these buddies I had. And so for me, that Genesis Mini is really intriguing because like the TurboGrafx-16, there's a lot of those games, even though I played almost all of them because we spent every waking hour, you know, when I was in elementary school, junior high playing video games, I still didn't have those in my house. And so for me, there's something really cool about the idea of actually being able to get those, access to those in my house, which would be cool.
Like I said, I want the whole thing. You give me the whole thing, I'm all over it because that's one regret that I've had is selling that Sega to pick up a PlayStation.
Yeah.
Now I don't even have the PlayStation, which annoys me. So, you give me the whole thing. I'm all over it.
Fair enough. Really quickly, one bit of news, and then we'll do our wrap of E3 2019. The one bit of news is E3 2020 is already announced. No shocker here. We have dates June 9th through 11th. Same week, same place. Everything, what you expect from E3 is coming back yet again. We'll see what next year's E3 looks like. Obviously, we don't know if Sony's coming back. We don't know if anybody else is going to pull out. E3 could either be a massive deal or it could be a withering, dying shell of itself come next year. But either way, it's going to be here next year. We're going to see it again.
Yeah!
We're not stopping anytime soon, which is good news. So, all that said, let's do just some quick wrap overall impressions from E3 2019. So, our typical what everybody does things. What was your biggest surprise from E3?
Microsoft.
I'll give you mine if you want to think.
I'm going to say Microsoft because they didn't suck.
Yeah.
Like that, they had to be good, and they weren't great, but they were good,
yeah.
And a lot of that has to do with Keanu. I'll give you that. I don't know what the world's fascination is with Keanu Reeves. I don't know why. I think he's cool. I don't understand it because he's just a dude.
Yeah.
That was. That for like 10 years was only known for like Bill and Ted and was on the cusp of being nobody. And then he became the guy that he is. Thank you, Wachowski brothers.
Right.
And I don't know what it is that I find so compelling, but a lot of their success this year had to do with him. And the fact that Halo is very interesting. They have a lot of things going on. I mean, we both paid for Game Pass. They did a lot of good things this year. So I'm gonna say Microsoft.
Yeah, I think that's valid. I think that's a good answer. And I agree. They needed to show up, and they did. I think they had a good show. Still didn't convince me I need to go buy an Xbox One. Maybe urging me a little bit towards the Scarlet. I'm, you know, obviously going to have to see more of that, but I'm intrigued, and I'm interested in some of their software. But at the end of the day, like, the software they showed that I'm most interested in, I'm playing on PlayStation 4 or PC and not on Xbox. So, for me, it was the Breath of the Wild announcement. I didn't anticipate. I didn't see that coming at all. I was praying for some new Breath of the Wild content. I was really hoping for some new, you know, DLC for Breath of the Wild. That was not on my radar, and I'm very happy that it happened. And so, that was shocking. Keanu coming out of Microsoft obviously was a big surprise point as well. And so outside of that, I don't think, like, I feel like it was an E3 without many surprises. Like, it wasn't an E3 with a bunch of game announcements. Almost everything we saw on the biggest stuff was stuff that we knew existed. You know, like, it just, there wasn't anything big. In fact, there's so much big stuff that we know exists that we didn't see. That may be as much of a surprise as anything else, just the software that wasn't there. We didn't see Beyond Good and Evil. That's, you know, like, that was a big, big deal for Ubi just a couple of years ago, and now it's nothing, you know?
And the interesting thing about that is nobody's talking about it.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about the fact that there wasn't even a whiff of Beyond Good and Evil. And the reason why is we've got Cyberpunk and Outer Worlds and all of these really potentially big games coming out. And the scary thing to me is that I think they did the smartest thing that they could have done, because Beyond Good and Evil would have gotten lost in all of that. And Beyond Good and Evil has the potential. Notice I said potential. Don't jump all over me. But it has the potential to be better than the biggest titles that we saw this year.
Yes.
It could have, if, for example, if we had done E3 this year and there was a bunch of big titles and or a bunch of small titles, and we had Beyond Good and Evil 2, lots and lots and lots of Beyond Good and Evil 2, there would be people, including us, geeked out beyond measure, just like we are for Cyberpunk and Outer Worlds and whatever else, because Beyond Good and Evil is a big deal.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I think probably where they're at in development, it's wise for them to not have come out big with it or shown stuff if they're not ready to come out big with it this year. And so, but still, surprising that wasn't there. Are lots of other games we could go down a list of those for a long time. Game of show, I'll go first on this one because I don't think it's going to be a surprise. But I'll see if you might have a different opinion. But for me, it's Cyberpunk. That's the game I'm most looking forward to, even with Final Fantasy VII Remake. But Breath of the Wild, we just didn't see enough of it. The fact that it's announced is a big deal, and I'm excited about. But like, obviously, having a minute long teaser about it isn't enough to give it a game of show or anything like that. And so for me, Cyberpunk is kind of the hands down winner there.
You know, I'm trying to think of something different because
I know.
I feel the way that you feel, kind of like Breath of the Wild, like Cyberpunk's a huge deal, but we didn't see that much more, and we don't know that much more than we did last year. Other than the fact that it's coming shortly. Like, it will be here in not too long. We don't have that long to wait. That we know, and that's a big deal, but we didn't see much more than what we did last year. And you can say, well, we've got the behind closed doors stuff coming. Well, we had that last year.
Right.
It's more of what we've already seen. So I understand why Cyberpunk is game of the show, but I'm trying not to give it game of the show because they didn't really do anything.
Other than Keanu.
Right, other than that right there, again, that, as weird as it sounds, he might make a game of the show.
Yeah.
Because that is the biggest, like, if you want to surprise a bunch of gamers, Keanu Reeves coming out the way he did, like a fat kid doing a cannonball in a community pool. I mean, that's a huge, huge deal. And so that, I think that's why everybody's pumped, because you don't expect that.
Yeah.
But I think by default, I think Cyberpunk is game of the show. I want to say Outer Worlds, but we don't know any more about Outer Worlds than we did before.
Yeah, that's the same thing. Final Fantasy VII is one that a lot of people have chosen. That's the other one that I think is pretty common.
And the reason that I don't want to give it to Final Fantasy VII is that we know what that is.
Yes.
We played that. You and I have spent way more hours of our lives in that game than we ever should have.
Yes.
And you can say, it's prettier, and there's a new battle system, and there's all this. No, it's the same game. It's a remake. That's not... I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking right now.
Uh-huh.
And that I can't pick a game of the show, but I think Nintendo had the games of the show.
Yes.
Like, Nintendo brought it.
Yes.
And if you're not a Nintendo fanboy, I understand why you're like, this is lame. Why can't you just pick a game of the show? Why you gotta give it to Nintendo? The reason why is we said it during E3, Nintendo has a ton of software and it all looks good. All of it.
Yes. Yeah, especially if we're saying which publisher company won, you know, as far as conferences and that kind of stuff, I would agree with Nintendo there for sure. Even though they didn't have like that singular game that stands out, because Breath of the Wild 2 we know so little about. Link's Awakening is very, very high on this list for me too. That's an up there game, even though again that announcement happened before E3, we knew that was coming. One other title I'll throw out there as a consideration that I would also put in the conversation is Jedi Fallen Order. I came out of E3 a lot more excited about that game than going in, because we knew so little about it. That's one game we knew existed, but we didn't know hardly anything about, that now we know quite a bit about, and I think it's going to be a really solidly good game.
It's going to be a solidly good game, and that's why I don't really consider it a game of the show, because I think at the end of the day, it's going to be good. It's not going to be great.
Yes. I agree with that. I think Cyberpunk is probably going to be great, and so that wins out to me.
Yeah, and I'll give it to Cyberpunk just by default.
No.
Because like I mean there's nothing else on that level.
Yep.
And
it's kind of a testament to E3 this year. It was a little bit of a weird E3 in that, like, both that, like, it was void of big announcements for the most part. Again, a couple of things, and not any big surprising software really yet. When I look back at the games that we're getting that we talked about at E3, Cyberpunk, Jedi, Final Fantasy VII, Link's Awakening, these are all games that are coming out in the next several months. These are games that are close. The Outer Worlds, we mentioned, like, there is freaking great software coming out of E3. Even though it wasn't surprising, like we knew most of it already, it's still, man, really, really good software on the horizon.
I repeat, boys and girls, I want to do this show full time. I'm not joking. I'm going to keep repeating that. I want to do this show full time because we've got so much stuff that we have to spend time on. And you and I had less than 2 days to sit around and play a game. And my mind is constantly working on what could happen if we did that even 4 days out of the week with a given title.
Sure.
And there's so much good stuff that right now, and it's a good problem to have, I feel like we're going to drown in it. Like, yeah. We will play Cyberpunk. We will play Outer Worlds. But those are, the two that we're probably going to get to. And everything else, like it is now, is going to be on the back burner. Yep. It's a really good place to be.
Yes, agreed. And I think that's a good way to kind of wrap the conversation around E3 this year. I don't think it was the most mind-blowing E3, but man, it's sure fun to have good games coming. And soon, that's the big complaint for me last year coming out of E3 is all the compelling software was a long ways off. Well, this year, all that compelling software is now a lot closer. It has me really excited. A lot of it coming, Link's Awakening, Outer Worlds, Jedi Fallen Order, all coming this year. Like, man, that's pretty great. They may not be the best games ever. Like, last year, we got one of the best games ever. You know, we got Red Dead last year. The year before, we got Zelda, one of the best games ever. I don't think there's anything coming out this year that's all-time historic going to be one of the best games ever. But man, there's really good games. There's enough to keep going through this year. And then next year, there's a possibility of one of those very elite tier games with Cyberpunk 2077. It may not be that, but it has the potential to be that. And even if it's not, it's still probably going to be good. And there's a lot of other really great software coming next year. And then we get a whole new console cycle and it all starts over. And yeah, it's nuts. Good time to be a gamer.
And if we haven't said it enough, boys and girls, Microsoft Game Pass is a big deal.
Agreed.
Big deal. Because I mentioned to the guys at work who all play Ark that Ark is on Game Pass. They looked it up. And the guy who runs the server, his eyes got wide. And I said, what? And he said, they gave the full game, like all the expansions, all like it's all there on Game Pass for $5 a month. So if you need more games to play, you got more games to play. And yet another reason we gotta go full time on this thing, because there's just so much and it's cheap.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going broke here.
And yeah, it's another really good point coming out of E3 that not only is the software great, but the access to software is also really great. Like, it's the ability to get good games is awesome. And you can find them easy without spending tons and tons of money.
I'm really excited. I'm really happy. I know a lot of our guys are just now getting through E3 content. We heard from Spider last night. He was only on episode 4. Yeah. Do you realize what week it was? And you're only on episode 4? Really? Come on, man. Okay, I'm over it. but like, I know a lot of you guys are just now getting around to this, and we hope you enjoy it. We definitely enjoy doing it. We love it. It is the best time of the year. And I really hope that we get to spend more time this summer playing games.
Yeah.
There's so many good games. I really hope we get to spend time. We will go back to regular shows next week, 2 weeks from now. I don't know. We got a lot of content up.
Yeah.
So... I have to wait a little bit, but we're going back to regular shows. And I'm excited about that because we've got a lot of stuff to deal with. So
yes, absolutely.
It's going to be a lot of fun. If you want to get in touch with us, you know how to do it. It's gaminguncensored@gmail.com or the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
Do we know if that thing still works?
I don't. We haven't gotten a voicemail in quite some time. And so if you've tried to send us a voicemail and we have not acknowledged that, let us know, because then we'll know that it's not working. If you've thought about calling it, call it just so we know if it's working.
Chad, call it and tell us we suck.
I mean, whoa, we could easily just call it ourselves, but we're not going to.
No, we're not, because we're lazy.
Yes.
And that's the same reason that we're not starting an Instagram. So if you want one of those, please, please get that started, because I'm not doing it. And we've done the entire show this way, and it's going to continue.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Of course, you know where the Facebook page is that somebody else started. You know where the Twitter is that somebody else started, only because we couldn't give somebody else the authority to start that. Tommy started that. That's the only thing that we've ever officially done on this show.
Yeah.
What else? Facebook, Twitter, Patreon. You got to go by there. Tons,
yes,
and tons and tons of content. If you are not a Patreon member and you're like, I don't know if I want to pay for that, I'm going to be real honest with you, folks. That content, I don't know how he's got it set. I haven't looked, but that content will eventually go public and be on the public page. So if you want to get a sample of what we're doing, see what it's all about, some of that will be public.
Yep.
And I think you're going to like what you see.
Yep.
So definitely go by there and check that out. Is there anything else, sir?
Man, it's been a good time. I've enjoyed it.
This has been Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of E3 2019. It's E4, and it's only on GamingUncensored.com. I'm Jamie, that's Tommy, and for one more E3, we are out. Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.